Dame Vita Bhakti Vrindaki Vrayanitai Gaur Premarandi. All glories to the Assembled Devotees, all glories to the Assembled Devotees, all glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. David G, ready with the drama? You ready? Okay, so if everybody could just move down this way and face that way. In other words, move off the rugs. Move on to the mats.
Yes, if you can fill up the space, let's stand here as much as possible. But it is better to face this way.
Because the drama is going to have more at this angle.
We won't be using this area at all, just here. And better you can sit here in the middle.
Okay, the mic will be here. David, where do you speak? Just in front. Okay.
You can control the mic from here. And can you come and shift this way a little bit more? Yeah, that's good. Yeah, very good. That's good. So your attention is basically going to be here, there. And someone's going to sit actually against this pillar. He's going to be speaking. So you may want to, you can move yourselves as each person speaks and listen carefully. There's not much you can do. But you ready? Okay, so we had a little bit of a few glitches because we lost a couple of our cast members last week. So I just have to sort something out. Just hang on. Okay, boys. So we're doing this play, Kali and Parikshit. As you know, we lost Udhava and Balaram, so it's a bit of a problem. And I need four people to kind of help Kali. I need pride, lust, intoxication, deceit. Okay, whatever was pride, I need someone to replace him.
Me?
Pride, you're right.
Me?
No! Why not? Hey, you're the guy who let us go anywhere!
Calm down. Okay, come on. Okay, we'll sort it out later, no problem. He thinks they could act as intoxication. Behave yourselves! Crowd of animals! Alright, no problem, Okay, well, I'll figure out who to see this later. Okay, who wants to be lust? Jana. Azula? Yeah, help me out here. Darahari. Chaitanya.
No!
Come on, Chaitanya. You could do it, right? Why not? It's pretty easy, I'll try to show you how to, how to draw emotions. here, I mean, you know. Nobody will laugh. You will laugh.
Right? No.
Jay, these people didn't make joke of it, Jay.
No way.
We won't make fun of them all.
No way.
Nobody's going to make fun of you. Look, you know, everybody's on your side. Come on. Why don't you want to do it? Just tell us and we'll sort it out.
Jay, I don't want to get mad at you. Tony doesn't make a joke.
Well, you know, after careful consideration of, you know, the various rigaments of the part and the strains that, you know, the actor will have to face, the very, you know, artistic demands and all that.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Well, you know, I kind of came to the conclusion, you know, I thought about it long and hard, that I should play comedy.
You play comedy?
You can be proud.
You know, it is my play.
So?
And, yeah. I put in all the long hours in the late
night. Yeah, the long hours.
Well, don't forget, I'm at your school.
Yes! Bad news!
Okay, alright. Yeah. I've got all the talent.
Looks like you should be proud, man.
Yeah, be proud.
No, you should be proud.
Yeah,
you should be proud.
Yeah,
you should be proud.
Shut up.
Okay, let go. Alright, this is it. I'm Cully, okay? And, you all can sort out the other parts amongst yourselves.
Moshami, you're ready. The egg is over. We're waiting. Speakers, we are ready. Now that the pandas have left this world, what is there for us to hear? Oh, Sura Goswami, please continue.
Manan and Brahmanas, Maharaj Parikshit then began to rule the kingdom as a great devotee of the Lord. He ruled by those great qualities that were foretold at the time of his birth. The king married the granddaughter of Virat and begot four sons headed by Maharaj Janmejaya. He selected Kripacharya for his spiritual council and performed three Ashwamedha yagyas on the banks of the river Ganges. And at these sacrifices, even the common people were able to see demigods. Once, when Maharaj Parikshit was on his way to conquer the world, he came upon a master of Kali Yuga who was lower than a Shudra, though disguised as a king. He at once, and who was hurting the legs of a cow and a bull, the king at once got hold of him to deal sufficient punishment.
Whoa, wait a minute. You mean he didn't kill the Shudraka? Why didn't Maharaj Parikshit merely punish him, since the culprit was a cheat and a cow of Sutra? Please tell us all about it, as long as it has something to do with Lord Krishna. Otherwise, we have not interested. The lords of ways are accustomed to licking up the honey from his brother's feet. What is the use of topics to simply waste one's valuable life? O Sura Goswami, anyone here desires eternal life, freedom from death, we can escape the slaughter by calling the ruler of death himself to partake in the Sankirtan Yajna. So we decided to invite Yamaraj. After all, he is the Lord's emissary, and as long as he is present here, no one shall die. Therefore, we recommend that anyone out there who's under death's grip should take advantage of this narration and hear the deathless nectar of the Lord's transcendental pastimes. But unfortunately, lazy human beings with paltry intelligence and short life pass their nights sleeping and their days performing works that are for nothing. What to do? Please continue, O wise one.
Yes, indeed. While Maharaj Parikshit was residing in the Kuru capital, the symptoms of the age of Kali began to infiltrate the jurisdictions of his state. When he learned of this, he didn't think the matter very palatable, though he was stirred with the opportunity to exhibit the fighting spirit. He took up his weapons and prepared for military actions. The emperor mounted a chariot drawn by black horses. His flag was marked with the sign of a lion. And he was surrounded by chariots cavalry, elephants, and infantry. He thus set out to conquer in all directions, to inspect and settle the kingdom he inherited. Maharaj Parikshit subjugated all parts of the earthly planets, all the continents, adjoining all the seas and oceans in all directions, and accepted tributes from their respective rulers. Wherever the king went, he was welcomed with speeches that were full of the glories of his illustrious forefathers and feats of Lord Krishna. He heard how he was saved from the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama, and people would mention the great affection between the descendants of Vrishni and Pritha due to the Arjuna's devotion for the Lord. The king was exceedingly pleased and awarded them kindly. Indeed, when Maharaj Parikshit heard how Lord Krishna, who is universally obeyed, had obeyed his malleable grandfathers by becoming their chariot driver, messenger, servant, night watchman, guru, and offering obeisances like one younger in years, he became overwhelmed with feelings of devotion to the lotus feet of the Lord. Thus, Emperor Parikshit was passing his days in profound thoughts of his forefathers. Meanwhile, however, an incredible thing was unfolding not far away, by the shore of the Saraswati.
Really? What was that?
The personality of religious principles, Dharma, was wandering about in the form of a bull. This bull was spotless and white, white like a white lotus flower. He met the personality of earth in the form of a cow. The cow is classically considered a gift from God, because from her one can draw religious principles and perform sacrifices to be happy. But here, she appeared to grieve like a mother who had lost her child. She had tears in her eyes, and the beauty of her body was gone. She was hankering after some grass in the field. Dharma questioned the earth as follows.
Oh, good lady, are you not hale and hearty? Why are you covered with the shadow of grief? It appears by your face that you have become black. Are you suffering from some disease? Or are you thinking of some relative who is away in a distant place? Are you lamenting for me because I have lost three of my legs? Or are you anxious because henceforth the meat-eaters will exploit you? Are you aggrieved that the demigods are now deprived of sacrificial offerings, and thus the living beings are tormented by famine and drought? Are you feeling compunction for the doleful women and children who are left forlorn by unsavory men? Or are you despairing because the goddess of learning is being handled by Brahmanas addicted to sin? Or is it that you are sorry to see such Brahma bandhus being purchased by administrators who denounce the tenets of real religion? These officers of state are now under the influence of Kali, and so they have made mayhem of all state affairs. Are you lamenting this chaos? Or are you unhappy because the general populace no longer follows the regulations for eating, dwelling, bathing, and mating, and are inclined to perform such anyhow and anywhere? O Mother Earth, the personality of Godhead descended just to unload your heavy burden. His wonderful acts are all spiritual redeeming. You are now bereft of his presence and are probably thinking of those pastimes and feeling sorry in your absence. Mother, you are the fountain of all riches. Please tell me the cause of your trauma, which has reduced you to this weak state. I think that the unbeatable influence of time might have forcibly carried off your fortune, which even a demigod adores.
The earthly deity then replied to the personality of religious principle.
Well, Dharma, I will try to answer your questions. You should know whatever you have inquired from me. Once, you too were maintained by your four legs. By the Lord's mercy, you increased happiness all over the universe. In Him reside truthfulness, cleanliness, compassion, self-control, equanimity, tolerance, fidelity, openness, knowledge, detachment, the power to render everything possible, dexterity, beauty, kindness, ingenuity, nobility, determination, wealth, joyfulness, pain, righteousness, stability, complete independence of others, existence as the eternal personality of Godhead, and many other transcendental attributes that are eternally present and never to be separated from Him. Lord Sri Krishna, the reservoir of all goodness and beauty, has now closed His transcendental pastimes on the face of this world. In His absence, the age of Kali has spread its influence everywhere, so I am sorry to see the state of affairs. I am thinking about myself also about you, as well as about all the demigods, sages, forefathers, devotees, and all humans obedient to Varna Ashram Dharma. Demigods like Brahma saw Lakshmi's glance of grace, and for her, they surrender many a day unto the personality of Godhead. But then, the goddess of fortune gave up her own abode in the forest of lotus flower to serve the Lord's lotus feet. So then, what was my position? I was empowered to supersede the fortune of all three planetary systems on account of being decorated with the impression of the flag, thunderbolt, driving rod, and lotus flower. What I mean to say is, the demigods are chasing after Lakshmi. Lakshmi is attached to the Lord's feet, and those same feet were my constant adornment. But at the end, when I felt I was so fortunate, the Lord left me. O personality of religion, I was greatly overburdened by the military absurd of Asur kings, and I was relieved by Krishna's grace. You were also in a dire predicament, and therefore, to recover you, he appeared by his own potence in the family of Yadu. Oh, who can tolerate the pains of separation from that tender God? By his sweet smile of love, adoring glance, and hearty appeals, he could conquer the gravity and fiery wrath of his sweethearts like Satyabhama. Though on occasion he may be absent from his queens, there was no chance that he could leave me. When he traversed my surface, I would be immersed in the dust of his lotus feet, and I would thus be lavishly covered with grass, which appeared like the airs of my body standing up out of ecstasy.
Hello, what have we here? A cow and a bull moping about.
Sure.
You are a depressing sight. What's the matter? Haven't got enough grass. And where's your keeper? Does nobody love you? You're all alone and uncared for. So much for the shelter of godly kings, eh? Bit of a joke that turned out to be.
What do you want? You appear to be nobility, but you address us harshly.
You mean... You don't know who I am? How terribly disconcerting. Never mind. We have plenty of time to get acquainted. Kali's the name. Mischief's my game. And what do I want? What do I want? I want you to get out of my way! This is my age! And the only little pest that stands between me and my fun is this stupid leg called truthfulness. But I've got a surprise for you. Oh, my dear Dharma, let me reacquaint you with some old friends. Dharma, look at me. Remember your austerity? Do you miss that leg, O Bruno? Well, guess who brought it down? Pride! Come on out! Yes, look at that. Such a vain, arrogant, smug, and supercilious little puffed up fellow he is. He's a terrific specimen, isn't he? Go on, Pride. Give him one for old time's sake. Have you noticed, Ogul, how filthy people have become? So many dirty little people and their dirty little minds. But it wasn't always like that, was it? No. At least, not until lust came along. At this point, ladies and gents, I'm very sorry to tell you that lust couldn't make it this morning. She had to go urgently to Calcutta to pick up her mum. She did, however, leave a message. She says she deeply regrets that she's not able to be here with you all. She's very busy with the non-devotees. But she, Oh! I beg your pardon. It would appear that she sent her a representative. Yeah, This is for all you fresh young university students and everyone else. Say goodbye to your vigor and your brains. Because when this sweet monster gets a hold, your minds will be awash with obscenities and smut. And the word clean will mean something your ancestors did. But it seems that the ladies weren't stimulating enough. No, no, not yet. It seems that the ladies... weren't stimulating enough because your great pillar of mercy was cut down by the merriments of intoxication. Intoxication! Ignorance is his bliss, and he would kill to keep it that way. And now, let me introduce someone who is very dear to my own heart. He will put an end to all religion and usher in my absolute dominion. Give this man respect. Everyone, stand to your feet.
Oh, I forgot. You can't.
It's deceit. My deceit. He will make a mockery of your moral and religious faiths. He will run riot along your corridors of government. He will control the propaganda of your media and infuse your families with quarrel and hate. He will obliterate the last bastion of religious values and clear the way for my supremacy. Now, finish this dull beast!
Kshatriyas. Rogue, now that Sri Krishna is out of sight and there's no Arjuna to wield the Gandiva bow, do you dare be innocent things in a hidden place? Murderer, you deserve to be killed! And who are you? Are you a bull as white as a white lotus, or are you a demigod? You have lost three of your legs and are moving in only one. Are you not a demigod in the form of a bull, causing us grief by this pitiful and pretentious state? Now, for the first time in a kingdom well protected by the arms of the Kuru kings, I see with tears in your eyes, there is no precedent to the negligence of my administration. O son of Sarabi, you need lament no longer. Do not feel this low-class Shudra. O mother cow, as long as blood flows through the veins of this subduer of demoniac men, there's no use for you to cry. Everything will be all right. As you protect men with your miracle food, so men must protect you. O chaste one, the king's good name, good fortune, duration of life, and progressive rebirth are ruined when all kinds of living things are terrified by miscreants in his kingdom. It is certainly the king's duty to quell the suffering of those who cry. Therefore, I will slay this blackguard because he violates my wards. O son of Sarabi, who has removed your three legs? Tell me. In this state of kings who obey the codes of God, no one is unhappy. Who has done this? This is the first sign that God's laws are transgressed and suggests that all miseries will follow. You must let me know, who has performed this evil? O bull, you're the most offenseless animal and are thoroughly honest. Know that I wish you all good. Now please tell me the perpetrator of these injuries, which blackmail the reputation of the sons of Ptah. Whoever tortures creatures must fear me in all directions, for by curbing all treachery, one naturally protects the virtuous. Hence, I promise that every offensive upstart shall be directly uprooted by me, even if he be a denizen of heaven with armor and decorations. O noble one, it is the ruling king's utmost duty to fully defend the biddable citizens and chastise those who stray from the decrees of the scriptures when emergency does not provoke it. Now, pray, speak, friend.
Your words, O king, defeat the descendants of Pandu's dynasty, and they instill fearlessness in our oppressed hearts. Being captured by the Pandavas' devotion, Lord Krishna will perform duties as a messenger. And since the Lord is your own unswerving protector, your own assurance can never be empty. So we feel safe and relieved, O greatest of men. However, I cannot determine the particular miscreant who has caused our misery, since we are confounded by all different opinions of theoretical philosophers. Some of them will say that superhuman powers are responsible for our plight, while others will retort that our own fugitive actions are being reciprocated. But action is not independent of a doer, and thus others will declare that our own minds are accountable for the reactions we feel. Well, the monists then point to Brahman as the ultimate cause. But then you have the gross materialists and the atheists who maintain that the ingredients of matter are all in all. Then again, some thinkers deem that no one can ascertain the cause of distress or by limitation, nor by imagination, nor expressed by words, O sacred Mount King. Judge for yourself, considering all this with the power of your own intelligence. The situation is before you, King. Surely you're fit to as executive head and know how to shelter the cause of Brahmanas.
For best among the Brahmanas, thus hearing the personality of religion speak, the Emperor Parikshit was fully satisfied and moved. Being equally sagacious, he replied to the point without doubts or mistakes.
Oh, you who have taken the form of a bull, you're conversant with the truth, for you're demonstrating that the agent of insult should never be blamed as the one's cause of difficulty. If one does designate fault, he deserves to reap the same fruit as the criminal. Only the personality of religion himself could attest to such finer intricacies of dharma. Surely, you are he, and therefore you are ready to tolerate all so-called afflictions as God's grace.
Oh, Goswami, the bull is a great devotee. Why did he not identify the ultimate doer and thus pose himself as ignorant?
Yes, Lord Krishna is the source of Brahman, the vigilant witness, and the cause of all causes. The Vaishnavas thus believe that nothing can transpire without his sanction. Why does he put some into difficulty and others not? The point is that everyone is on the path of the absolute truth. Some serve under the force of Maya, while the regular souls are aided by her. The Lord merely disposes of our motions, but when he desires to do a thing, who can quit it? You see, my dear sages, the sufferings of Dharma and Bhumi were preordained to put the king to test for his greatness.
And still, everything is done by Krishna's Maya Shakti, though you know well that the Lord is the supreme controller. The deluding energy now magnifies this dark time of doubt, and so you fail to mention the supreme cause of all. How amazing! The only conclusion is that Krishna's energies are inconceivable. No one can fathom them by mental speculation or by word juggling. In the Satya Yuga, your four legs were established by the practice of austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. But you have lost the three legs, which have been broken due to the rampant irreligion in the form of pride, lustful women, intoxication. Now you stand on one leg only, truthfulness, and you are somehow limping along. But this personification of quarrel, who flourishes by deceit, will try to bring it down also. The burden of earth was certainly diminished by the personality of God and others. When he was visibly present, all good was performed because his auspicious footprints marked her surface. Now, she, forsaken by him, laments her fusion with tears in her eyes, for she will be ruled and enjoyed by lower class men, who pose as rulers in her astral soul.
Thus, Maharaj Parikshit, who would single-handedly fight a thousand enemies, soothed the hearts of Dharma and Bhumi. He then took up his sharp sword to kill the bogus king, the personality of Kali, the root of their religion.
No! I beg you! Don't kill me. Please do not take my life, O king. I am your servant. I am your servant.
We have inherited the fame of Arjuna, and since you have surrendered yourself, you will keep your life. But you are the friend of religion, and you cannot remain in my kingdom at the cost of the Pandava's name and the desire of Lord Krishna.
What?
If you are allowed executive privilege, certainly greed, falsehood, robbery, incivility, treachery, misfortune, cheating, quarrel, and vanity will abound.
Emperor, there will always be citizens of the state who thrive in these things. They give meaning to the religious and royal campaigns.
You do not deserve to remain where truthful persons perform sacrifice to please God.
But my lord, how can I be
Perhaps
expected
you
to...
you think you're being treated unfairly?
The personality of Kali, thus being compelled by Maharaj Pariksit, began to tremble in fear. Seeing the king before him like Yamaraj, Kali uttered his plea.
Your Majesty, though I may live anywhere and everywhere under your order, still I will see you with bow and arrows. You are the sovereign of all lands, and are meant for quashing all mischief. Better you kill me here and now than at some other place. You will surely do the needful with this surrendered soul. However, you are the chief amongst the protectors of religion, because you refrain from slaying one who has fallen at your feet with his life. Please, fix some place for me where I can live permanently under the protection of your government.
Very well. You may reside wherever animals are slaughtered, women are exploited, and where there is intemperance and gambling. For there you will find pride, lust, intoxication, and falsehood.
But your majesty! As long as you reign, I will find no such places. Please, my master, you command the impossible. There must be something else that I can use. Give me some other shelter.
You may live where gold is hoarded. Wherever there is gold, there is also falsity, intoxication, lust, envy, and enmity.
And thus, the personality of Kali was permitted to remain in those five places by the son of Uttara. Therefore, whoever desires progressive well-being, especially religious aspirants, brahmanas, sannyasis, kings, and public leaders, should never flirt with gambling, drinking, illicit sex, or meat eating.
So is Kali desolate, Mush could wreak havoc?
No. In the presence of Kali, Dharma, and Maharaj Pariksit, could actually estimate the condition of his kingdom. Therefore, at once he took steps to employ all the gold stocks in the Sankirtan Yajna.
Ah, very good.
And thus re-establish cleanliness, austerity, and mercy with the stabilization of the legs of religion. Mother Earth naturally recovered, and there was little chance for Kali to infiltrate the social structure. The most fortunate emperor, Maharaj Pariksit, who was entrusted with the kingdom of Hastinapur when his grandfathers retired to the forest, is now triumphantly ruling the world by his legacy. The son of Abhimanyu is so experienced that by dint of his expert administration, he has driven Kali from the fields of activities and prepared the ground for spiritual interests. Thus, it has been possible for you all to perform this sacrifice.
No! Can this be so? I am tricked by a dark deceiver! Clever king. Well, my clever king, you may have swindled me this time, but don't worry. I have further tricks in store for you.
interesting that we've been actually talking about this point, but it just didn't struck me again that in Gita, third chapter, Krishna explains that, you know, from lust, anger develops. First, there's a contemplation of the object of the senses, and then the mind becomes attached to those sense objects, and out of that attachment, lust develops. The person following that lust tries to enjoy the sense objects, but cannot because he's spirit and that's matter. And so naturally, krodha, frustration, and anger follows. So, but this is actually the condition of a person who's already sunk under the control of the modes of nature. And this is an apt description of ordinary material life. When we look at Brahma's creation, the Visarga, we find things happen differently according to his creation. That actually the first thing Brahma created, you know, first there's Sarga, so the Lord manifests the basic ingredients of creation, the 16 elements. And then Brahma's duty is to embody the living entities within those elements and place them within a gross, say, replica of the subtle architecture that Lord Hiranyagarbha manifests in his Vishwarupa. So that's it's said in the Bhagavatam that the Lord, that Brahma contemplates the limbs of the Lord as the reference for his creation, and this is actually the mental sacrifice that's described in Purusha Sukta. But it's interesting, according to Bhagavatam, the first thing that Brahma, in order to set the stage for this gross creation, the first thing he created is Tamishra, which Prabhupada explains in the purport as being the anger of the conditioned soul, the soul newly arrived in material existence at his discovery that he's not actually God. He's come into material existence with all kinds of, you know, assumptions and you know, proud aspirations to be the Ishwara and the Bhoga and even the benefactor, you know, to Sarvalokamaheshwaram, to actually take Krishna's place. But he can't be Krishna. It's just not possible because he's 1/10,000th the tip of a hair. So then the first covering, this is the first of five kinds of ignorance that covers the living entity as he's placed into the Visarga creation. And this is anger. And then following anger is Andatamishra, the fear of death. And then the third thing is tama, which is a kind of resigned ignorance. You know how people are. I remember when I grew up, there was that Clairol hair dye advertisement. When I was a kid, I used to see it on TV. And this, the advertising slogan is, there's always this lady, a young, beautiful girl saying, "Well, if I have only one life, let me live it as a blonde." This is like stage 3. See? I'm not actually God, and I'm going to die. But anyway, let me make the best of this and try to somehow enjoy. So that's the tamas stage, just a kind of resignation that I'll do the best I can and enjoy. And then as soon as that attitude is adopted, then moha follows. And moha is the, you can say, the typical conventional illusion that covers everyone, you know, the karmis of this material world. Prabhupada explains as moha, of course, it means desire to enjoy the senses, but also involves the living entities, you know, men and women teaming up, the punksashtriya, to form the core of family life. That means, you know, this is the beginning of the grihamidi, neighborhoods and societies. So it's simultaneously a kind of unifying of living entities under a social circumstance for sense gratification. At the same time, there's also divisions, you know, being formed. So this is illusion. And then the last stage of ignorance is moha moha, which is madness. That as one is pursuing, and this again, anyone from our generation, we remember, if you grew up in the 1950s, I think they made a film called, kind of a nostalgic film about that time. It was called Pleasantville. So that was a time of, you know, the white church on the corner and all the well-behaved kids going to school and the yellow school bus and, you know, the neighborhood women hanging out the washing and talking over the white picket fences and the dutiful husbands in their gray flannel suits driving off. See you this evening, dear. I hope you have a nice steak ready for me. Remember, I like onions with it. And all of that, 1950s. And then in the 60s, something very weird happened. In other words, from moha, we entered moha moha. total insanity. Oh, you know, as Prabhupada said, this the 60s generation, the young people who grew up in the I like Ike 50s, when they reached their puberty in the 60s, they just went totally nuts. Prabhupada said they became, he called them the new mendicants, meaning the new so-called sadhus that you see in the Shaivite sadhus, in other words. They grow long hair, beards, and smoke ganja and hashish, and they think what they're doing is spiritual, or totally unregulated and dirty, but anyway. So this is madness. So it's interesting how, you know, we saw Kali at the end of the play, he's saying, I've got plans. You know, he still had some tricks up his sleeve. And the trick up his sleeve was to incite this Brahmabandhu, Shringi. Now you consider when someone, because Shringi, you see in Prabhupada's purports, actually describes his many advantages. He was the son of Shamaka Rishi. He was actually very, very well educated, in one sense, in this sense of education, what he knew, he was a qualified Brahmin in terms of knowledge and also in terms of mystic power. But he has what they call a backstory, in that previously he was a demon who was killed in the presence of the Lord. And therefore he got the opportunity to take birth in Brahmin family. That's the blessing that they get. So he did have the Brahminical qualifications, but deep down in his heart, there was still this demoniac tendency, specifically for pride and anger, which is, again, Brahma's first creation. And Prabhupada mentions in the purport to this Tamasra stage of creation, that even after one takes to spiritual life, this particular form of ignorance, the first form, will continue to harass that person. He may be able to rid himself of the other four, but the first one, because why? I mean, if you just consider it logically, actually, it probably gives the example of Mayavadi sannyasis. So, someone who has the inclination for liberation is someone who is frustrated with material life. So, in one sense, that's good. You know, he's frustrated. You know, he's tried. There's this poetic expression, he's smelt the rose and felt the thorn. You know, so he doesn't want any more of that. And, you know, it disturbs him, and all of the glitter and glamour of material life makes him disgusted. And he has a strong desire to get out of this material world. And, you know, we'll also have this tendency to be condemnatory to those who are engaged in sense gratification in a, you know, exaggerated moralistic way, and so on and so forth. These qualities will tend to be there, which very easily result in anger, and that's a, you know, a very prominent theme in the Vedic scriptures. That those brahmanas and sages who are not, I mean, they may have so many sattvic qualifications, but it's said again and again, if they're not pure devotees of the Lord, then they have the tendency to fall afoul of anger. And as Prabhupada once said, a Vaishnava cannot be cursed. Even if he is cursed, Krishna is arranging from the background, like Daksha's curse of Narada, that it's actually a blessing. Nor does a Vaishnava ever curse. So even when Narada did curse Nalakuvera and Managriva, that was a blessing too for their spiritual emancipation. But it's this more, there's, I think in Charaka Samhita, what is it, six or seven types of Brahmins are mentioned according to Ayurvedic psychological analysis. And the topmost is the Brahmana, who is, I always think of Maharaj as that type. Because I've always observed Maharaj. You know, and he can be in the midst of all kinds of insanity and still retain his cool, all kinds of. There's another kind of Brahmana called the Rishi type, which I kind of think I'm like, you know, who tends to become angry, you know, especially around people who he thinks are, you know, just stupid. Yeah. And so anyway, those who are not pure devotees, then they will have this tendency to curse, meaning to curse. I mean, you know, to really, you know, bring misery and suffering upon that living entity, to punish that living entity. So it's interesting that being a Brahmana, or at least a Brahma Bandhu, a highly qualified Brahma Bandhu, then Sringi was on the road out. But there's that last hurdle of Visarga in the form of Tamasha or anger that Kali was able to trip him up on. And then, of course, Shamika Rishi, who Prabhupada writes that Shamika Rishi was not actually in the category of being a devotee, but he was a purified sage, so therefore he says there was actually no difference in the spiritual understanding of Shamika and Maharaj Parikshit. So Shamika Rishi felt mortified at what his son did. And of course, now the class is over. If we had time, we could have perhaps read some of the things Shamika said. But that was one major point that Prabhupada often would mention in his lectures, that Shamika Rishi did say that now our caste will be remembered as the cause of the overtaking of Kali Yuga of the world. You know, we Brahmanas, who are supposed to be, you know, the preceptors of religion and the reservoir of all good qualities and the representatives of Dharma, now we will be remembered as the... I think somewhere I put in here the hole through which the needle of, you know, Kali came in like a needle and went out like a plow. You know, this stringy. So it's a very interesting point. It just struck me at the end of the play.
That's the thing when you were describing, you said the anger, fear, and then enjoyment. It's also your karmi, your jnani, and the Buddhist. You know, because Buddhism is anger. You know, what is it? Raga, vita, bhaya, krodha. You know, you get those. Is that those last ones, they're able to get, because of frustration, they're able to actually get inspired to get out of the material world. But because of that frustration, they can't get, getting into the spiritual world isn't an option. Because they're frustrated with interaction, with relationship, with rasa. Or the karmi, he has faith in rasa, so it would actually be easy for him to get into the spiritual world, but he doesn't have the interest to get out of the material world. So neither of them are successful. So the only thing that actually, you know, so each of them has their strength and has their weakness. So the only thing that actually carries both of them out is the devotion to Krishna. So we always see it keeps coming back to the point of associating with the devotees, yeah, and hearing Bhagavatam, hearing about it. That's the only thing that's actually successful to get you out of here and into the spiritual world.
Yeah. You know? But then there's also, has to be mentioned, because of the three levels of devotees, mm-hmm, you know, so mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One coming from those categories like you mentioned comes in as Kanishta.
Yeah, and comes in and using that karma. Using karma.
There's also Kanishta is prone. Not, I mean, he wants to be a devotee. So and the Kanishta is of course his the devotional service that he takes to is worship of the lotus feet of the deity. And if he's a serious devotee, and Prabhupada said a Kanishta can be classified as among pure devotees. There are pure devotee Kanishtas. I think that one Chandrasekhar, it's mentioned that one Chandrasekhar who went to Lord Chaitanya to say that the Mayavadis are criticizing you, or maybe it was the Brahmana, I forget which one of them, or maybe both of them. But they didn't know how to answer Prakashananda and his followers' criticism of Mahaprabhu. So they're pure devotees, they're associates of the Lord, but they're in the category of Kanishta. So one who's a Kanishta, but of course just coming to the process, then is not actually pure devotee, trying to be a devotee. And so we'll give all respect and attention and be afraid of making offenses to the lotus feet of the Lord. But because that position of Kanishna means he has a difficulty recognizing who's devotee, who's not, who's superior, who's, you know, then there's the danger of him making Vaishnava aparad, which means tadya aparad, because the Vaishnava is tadya. And Prabhupada said, I remember I gave you the thing I wrote and quoted from this report where Prabhupada says, tadya samarchanam, what is the word? Samarchanam. As mentioned by Lord Shiva, worship of Tadya is the same as Padasevanam. So a Kanishta Adhikari who offends a devotee of the Lord, you know, out of his ignorance and that anger that's still there. Even though he's very assiduously trying to serve the lotus feet of the Lord, has just offended the lotus feet of the Lord. And Kapila Dev gives very severe warnings about that in the third canto. That you may be worshipping me, but if you're a separatist, meaning if you're, you know, mistreating other devotees or even other living entities, not treating other living entities as a Vaishnava should treat other living entities, then your service can never please me and in fact will be offensive and result in dire consequences. So that's there too. So it's very, very, you know, to cultivate proper association with devotees is just at the top of the list. You know. For those at the sadhaka stage. Actually, Prabhupada also said, I remember when I was a very new devotee, when I used to work in the kitchen as new devotees generally always. That's where you're put, you know. And there I hear tapes of Srila Prabhupada. I remember one of the earliest tapes I heard of Prabhupada that really struck me, it was one hint in which he was saying that this Krishna conscious movement is a Madhyamadikari movement. So actually we are expected to start at the Madhyamadikari platform. That means to have friendship. Prabhupada said everything is based on love and trust. So actually in this movement there's really, you know, it's like put out the sign, Kanishna's not wanted, not welcome here. Although, you know, out of mercy, they're here anyway, but they should not act like Kanishna's. They should learn very quickly not to act like Kanishna's.
It's like the Uttama doesn't act like an Uttama to preach, he acts like a Madhyama. So even the Kanishna should act like a Madhyama to take part in the movement.
We act like Kanishtas. It's, you know, again, it's not. I remember a discussion in which I was surprised. One of our leading scholarly devotees in this movement, who obviously I'm not going to name, was taking the position that Kanishta means an envious devotee. That is not necessarily true. Because Prabhupada said Kanishta can be a pure devotee, but a neophyte, you know, just coming out of those categories, as you were saying, frustrated shunyavadi or, you know, frustrated karmavadi, whatever, you know, is likely to be bringing impurities in the heart. And then he'll come in on the Kanishta level, but not be a pure Kanishta, and therefore, you know, it's an explosive. It's like, you know, nitroglycerin. Drop it and.
So then right. We'll continue on the 7th of September. Right? Today's Thursday. Right? Yeah. Basically, exactly 4 months.
Yeah. So it's like, see you in 4 months.
Yes.
we usually are saying, see you on Monday or see you on day after tomorrow, Thursday. So we'll see you all again in 4 months.
That's actually the beginning of the Vedic term. That's when we start.
Anyway, by that time, we hope we will have published part one to this Bhagavatam study guide, you know, in book volume, first three cantos. And these, you know, experiments that we've been running on you will, in this book, achieve their siddha swarup.
Guru Prabhupada, Samaveda Bhakti.